You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
NFL news of the day. Washington hiring a head coach. Good idea. Dan Quinn jumping from the D of Dallas. Is it a W for Washington? And Caitlin Clark, another historic moment, up to number two all-time scoring. Are we starting to rank lists here, Monty McNutt? Where Caitlin Clark is all-time? Let's go around the horn.
Oh, you asked me, I'll tell you.
Like the Lions or Stanley Cup.
He belongs on the Sparky Cup. Sparky to get it.
NFL coaching carousel, musical chairs, whatever you want to call it. It was getting late. Last call in Washington hiring Dan Quinn. It's his second head coaching job after the 6 years in Atlanta where he went to a Super Bowl. Cowboys defensive coordinator the last three seasons. Great regular seasons, not so great in this past playoffs, that's for sure. One more thing here. The Athletic's Diana Rossini reporting Washington did interview Bill Belichick. So Quinn over Belichick and others. And the greatest coach of all time not hired in this cycle. But Courtney Cronin, around the horn to you first on Washington's hiring of Dan Quinn.
This feels like a consolation prize. This isn't going to inspire a lot of confidence in Commanders fans when you have the number two overall pick in the draft, which you're going to be likely using on a quarterback, $84 million in cap space, a clean slate from ownership to a new GM, and you could have gotten some of the brightest offensive minds out there, whether it was Bobby Slowick or Ben Johnson, both of whom decided that they would rather stay in their current spots, which honestly, Tony, no one ever buys, because when you have a chance to be one of 32 NFL head coaches, you take that opportunity.
They do.
It sounds like Washington missed the opportunity here to get one of those coaches in and guide the direction of this franchise in a place where it hasn't gone. And if it came down to money, man, that's something that they are really going to regret in the long haul.
Bill Plaschke had this higher land for you.
Drake May meet Dan Quinn. It makes no sense. The whole hiring makes zero sense. They had the 24th ranked offense last year. They're getting the top quarterback. They need an offensive coach. They need a guy who got away. They need a guy like Sean McVay, who they had, the franchise had several years ago, and let him go. They needed Bobby Slowick. They needed Ben Johnson. They need an offensive mind. It's so clear. Look at the Super Bowl. Two offensive minds are always in the Super Bowl. And this is a – I don't understand. He gave up – in his last game, he gave up – his defense gave up six touchdowns to the Packers in the playoffs. He blew the 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
43-42 overall. Puzzling hire.
Monica McNutt, you're a native Washingtonian, or from Maryland, but very, very close to FedEx Field here. How is this landing for you?
Tony, this feels like a poor man's version of Ron Rivera all over again. Sure, Ron was terrific. He came into Washington with about a 12-game margin between his wins and his losses, a couple of playoff appearances, an NFC championship. Quinn is 43-42 with two playoff appearances. Like, this is failing upward. This is not, as a fan, I'm not excited about this hire at all.
And once again, let me put some respect on that PG County there for you. Apologizes for that. Justin Tinsley, to you.
I understand the whole not hiring Belichick, because when you hire him, that comes with a lot of control within your organization. And I don't know if Washington wanted to do that, but Mike Vrabel was right there for him. He was right there. I don't understand why they didn't hire him. But you know what? I'm going to give Josh Harris the benefit of the doubt at this point. This feels like a college coach getting his first real offseason cycle. that he can mold the team within his image. He's got his GM. He lured Bob Myers away from the daggone Warriors, so he's there. And now, as Courtney said, you got the number two pick. You got the most cap space in the league. Now, do I love the Dan Quinn hire? No, but I'm still salty that, you know, Aaron Jones ran all over that defense in his last game in Dallas. But guess what? His strengths as a coordinator in terms of forcing turnovers, points per game, those are Washington's weakness. What this feels like is the start of a complete rebuild from a franchise that has desperately needed to be rebuilt over the last quarter century. At this
point. I think it's longer than that. Courtney Cronin, back to you.
I'm not surprised that they didn't go with Bill Belichick. Obviously, that's a name that is not part of the head coaching cycle. He didn't land a job this year, and people are going to think, okay, the greatest X's and O's coach maybe ever is not a coach next year. That's going to be a little weird. But Washington is trying to do things differently this time around. In hiring Adam Peters as their GM, coming from that San Francisco team, they don't want a head coach who's coming in here who's going to want personnel control. Ron Rivera had personnel control in Washington. That's going to be different with Dan Quinn focusing on the head coaching job and head coaching job only, something that I think would have been very difficult for Bill Belichick under these circumstances.
Last word, Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, I think it's still the biggest story here is Belichick didn't get a job. That's stunning. Think about it. The greatest coach of all time within 2 years of setting the all-time record. He can't get a job?
What do you this think that is? I mean, I know it's just speculation at this point, but we heard today he interviewed for – you think it's time, Monica McNutt. You're indicating on the watch there that it – yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We've been horrible. Move on. NBA last night. It's the return of Damian Lillard to Portland. Let's talk about it. 1 minute standing ovation from the Portland fans. And the team gave him two tribute videos, one for his on-the-court success and one for his off-the-court success. But no Dame moment at the end of the game. Even though you thought it was coming. Dream scenario, Disney movie. Did it. The play, Doc Rivers or the Bucks drew up. Lillard to Giannis, which allowed the Blazers to foul Giannis, put him on the line. And you see how that went. Ends the game. Portland wins. Sweet victory for the Blazers. Milwaukee 0-2 with Doc Rivers as head coach. Monica McNutt around the horn to you on the takeaway from last night.
The biggest takeaway for me, Tone, is the humanity of it all. I think we forget sometimes when these guys are multi-time all-stars and they're making the type of money that most of us can only dream about. You forget they are also men of their communities, fathers, husbands, just men that have lives. And Dame spent the first dozen years of his career in Portland, is truly invested in Portland. I think people forget Weber State. Like, he's been a part of that community for so long. And so I was mostly struck by the humanity of it
all. And again, they had a video tribute for his community service, which I thought was a wonderful thing. Justin Tinsley, to you, a takeaway from last night. It could be Dame, could be how the game played out, and Portland won.
Yeah, we could talk about the X's and O's and the issues that the Milwaukee Bucks have, because they do have quite a bit for a really good team. But, Tony, you see how I get every October when I get to go down to Hampton for homecoming. You never forget where your heart is. You never forget where you grow up. And this is an area where he spent basically from college till last summer. He grew up a lot there, so it felt like a real homecoming. You saw him going up to hug people in the crowds. He got a chance to pick his kids up from school yesterday, which he said was the highlight of his day, far beyond the game. So there's a mutual understanding between Dame and the fans of Portland. There was never hatred there. He just wanted to win. They understood he wanted to win. So do I believe him when he says, oh, I want to wear a Portland Trailblazers jersey again? I believe he wants that. Now, will it happen? I don't know. But this was a beautiful sight, and it was a beautiful homecoming, and it was well-deserved.
Courtney Cronin, take away from last night?
It was the juxtaposition between two returns in the NBA. We saw Kevin Durant with Phoenix go back and play the Brooklyn Nets, and he said he didn't want a video tribute. They did a video tribute for him anyways. He looked incredibly uncomfortable, probably because he realizes the big three he's currently a part of played more games, surpassing the amount last night that the big three he played with played with, which is hilarious, 17 versus 16. But like, you can honestly tell with Damian Lillard, this means so much that 63-second standing ovation, that doesn't happen for all athletes going back to the place that raised them. I was at Kevin Durant's return to Oklahoma City in 2017, and it wasn't like that. It was filled with that vitriol and that hatred. And it's funny because I don't see anybody complaining about Damian Lillard doing the heart motion to the crowd, the way that they complain about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift doing it. But regardless, it was such a
Oh my gosh, Court.
I still have, who are these people that are complaining? I still like to see one. Bill Plaschke to you.
Dame was 9 for 23, one for four in clutch time. He was clearly overwhelmed, but I like to focus on the players who weren't coming back to Portland, all the other Bucks. Six straight turnovers to start the fourth quarter, didn't score a point for 3 minutes in the fourth quarter. Doc Rivers is seemingly lost over there. Of course, it's early yet. He's trying to figure it out. But how they couldn't get Dame the ball for the last shot, it just shows this is a team in transition. This is a player in transition. The Bucks should have won this game. I mean, Portland, you can't overestimate how bad Portland is.
Monica, can you address the Bucks as you saw them now, 2 games with Doc Rivers?
Well, I just go back to how much of an outlier Kawhi Leonard being added to Toronto and it actually working and ending in a championship truly is. These things take time. Even though Dame and Giannis think their games complement one another, which they do, these things take time, and the Bucks are demonstrating that.
More, we'll take a break here. Coming up. All right, there are whispers. There's the rumblings, the beginnings of GOAT talk for Caitlin Clark, which, I mean, you guys can tell me what how you feel about that. Monica McNutt, in your career, you went up against Maya Moore, right? You were right on her, okay. Bill Plaschke, you covered Lisa Leslie, Candace Parker, all right? The list goes on and on. Cheryl Swoops will factor into this conversation as well. We're going to have it in Buy or Sell.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
Caitlin Clark is a missile going up the NCAA's all-time scoring list. Number two now, after last night passing both Jackie Stiles and Kelsey Mitchell. She only trails Kelsey Plum by about 120 or so. Could get her by March. 35 like usual, Iowa beat Northwestern. The scene, like usual, as always, wild. Look at the lines, all the autographs, all the cameras on Clark. So number two scoring, the mania attached to us. And like I said, there's the beginnings of GOAT talk here. You can tell me if that's allowable. Heat of the moment, crazy love, I get it. I can't buy it just yet. You tell me if it's legit. Monica, on what Clark is doing in the all-time place of it.
Listen, it is incredible, and she is a delight. We shared earpieces last year at the Women's Final Four. I would be comfortable saying that she's on the verge of becoming the greatest scorer that we've seen in women's college basketball, and I'm even open to hearing arguments on assists, right? She's great at dishing the rock. I'm not ready to throw out GOAT, though, Tony. I just think, to me, in the conversation of GOAT, as I've seen in the NBA, rings matter, and she's not yet been able to elevate this Iowa squad to national champion. And we've got a plethora of women that we can talk about that were dominant as college athletes, as women, and got over the hump and took home the hardware ultimately, though. But it has been a pleasure to watch.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, she is a true one of one, and she's standing on the shoulders of giants who came before her the same way players after her will with her. Look, she revolutionized the game. She heightened the visibility of it to its current mark, right? And she helped heighten the visibility, excuse me. But, you know, and she will go down as the greatest scorer in college basketball history, man or woman. It really doesn't matter. But as Monica said, to be known as the greatest of all time, you have to have a championship. That's just how these basketball discussions work. But that is of no slight to her because she is a true NBA Jam, She's on Fire logo every time she steps in there.
But you got her greatest score, men or women. Now that brings in Pete Maravich, a total number she also could pass this season. But the points per game on Maravich, you see the mid-40s there, Justin Tinsley. Clark's not there. Cronin, to you.
I mean, if she gets there, which means that she surpasses his, I think she's 264 points away from that, which could put her there like the end of the regular season in March, then I don't think you have any choice but to put her into that GOAT conversation. She's already there from certain respects. First 40-point triple-double in NCAA history, 3,000 career points, 750 rebounds, 750 assists. Like, that trajectory puts her on a level that very few others are ever going to be able to reach, and her staying power and drawing power in college athletics is unlike anything we've ever seen. Their 7 true road games, which included that game last night at Northwestern, have all sold out. The average attendance up 150%.
Yeah. No, it's a mania.
I need Justin Tinsley to let me hold a dollar so I can get to a game and actually get to see Caitlin Clark in person.
Courtney Cronin, here we go. Monica wants back in, but we'll go to Plaschke first.
The Wooden Award is given traditionally to the best male athlete annually, every best male basketball player. They ought to give it to Caitlin Clark. They ought to open it up this year. John Wooden would have loved her game. She not only scores, we were talking about the assist, she went 35 and 10 9 times in her career. All of the other Division I players have done that 10 times in the last 25 years. She's the most complete player I've ever seen. I think she's, and don't talk about championships. Everybody says he has to win a championship. The game is different now. It's harder to win a championship. Women's college basketball is much better, much more parity now than it was.
I mean, it's hard to win a championship wherever. I understand the Wooden stuff. She's already got a Wooden Award. So, Monica, back to you, though, on some of the names. Courtney's going full on GOAT. Some of the names that should be in that conversation.
I mean, you got to have a conversation. First, you can go back to Cheryl Miller if you want, but let's just go champions. Breanna Stewart, Diana Taurasi, Candace Parker. I mean, you could go down the list in terms of women that when we saw them at their prime in college, they were sort of revolutionizing what we saw. Maya Moore, someone who I competed against through the course of my college career. So I just think the winning is so, so very important.
Diana Taurasi. Cheryl Swoops, another name that's in that conversation.
Cheryl Swoops, absolutely.
She was on Gil's Arena, and I want to talk about this, because I thought it was interesting. She thought the WNBA will not be an easy transition for Clark. Here's Swoops.
People look at new players coming in, whether that's out of college, players who've been overseas, and they look at that and say, oh, you trying to come take my job? Like, no, it's not going to be that easy. So will Caitlin Clark be a good pro? Absolutely. Will Caitlin Clark come into the WNBA and do what she's doing right now? Immediately, absolutely not.
Monica, you buy or sell that?
First of all, that is a 3-time gold medalist, 4-time WNBA champion, and a Hall of Famer. Yes, I'm buying it. Cash me out. She's telling the truth. She's not saying that Caitlin Clark will not eventually be able to do this, but there is a curve. Like, people do not need to sleep on the difficulty of sticking in the WNBA. Those 144 spots are highly coveted.
Justin Tinsley?
Yeah, I buy it. She wasn't disrespectful at all in what she said. What she's saying is, hey, guess what? Pro sports are hard, and the WNBA is littered with talent, and there will be a bullseye on her back when she gets to the league, and understandably so. But here's one thing that's probably going to work in her favor. She will likely go to Indiana, where her teammate will be Aaliyah Boston. Aaliyah Boston will make sure she gets some wide-open shots, so she will be pulling from deep the same way she is in college right now.
There's a natural growing curve from anybody going from college athletics to the pros, no matter what the sport is. But the amount of roster spots that are available for rookies to try to make the team, of course, we know she'll be drafted very high. She has a better chance than others who are going to be coming out this year. But I took it as, you know, not just a message to Caitlin Clark, but to Angel Reese, to anybody else coming out of the NCAA this year into or in the next coming years, that it's going to be a challenge regardless, and it's not going to necessarily come as easy that you're going to have to work
for. You just called her the greatest of all time in college. I'll give you an example. Candace Parker was Rookie of the Year and MVP of the league in her first season. Kelsey Plum was on that list we just said. Her trajectory took some growth. Bill Plaschke, I'll bring you in here. Sabrina Ionescu, her trajectory has taken some growth.
I'd still take her. I would still take her right now. The Sparks need to get that first number one overall pick and take her. She needs to be in L.A. She's a superstar.
Wait, okay.
No greater – no player –
We all know you're joking about that. The reality.
I'm not joking.
Oh, okay.
Why wouldn't the WNBA make it so that the Sparks could get?
All right, that's gonna be the last word on that. One thing I need to say: we just had a GOAT conversation. She's our friend. We have to celebrate our friend here. Let's put up the box score: Georgetown versus UConn. Oh no!
Ooh-wee.
And it was matched up with Maya Moore, as you said. Look at Monica McNutt and Moore.
Monica McNutt.
Moore 7 of 20 in the game.
Defense.
Oh, I don't know what the bonus should be for that, but right now it's just raining points. Flash game.
Clink, clink.
Thanks, Tinsley. Thanks for your time, Justin Tinsley. Happy birthday, my man. Your new personal record this year. That's a good job out of you. Ah, Cronin. That'll be a showdown next for McNutt and Cronin.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Question: can you get ejected from a game with a second left but still stay for handshakes? Northwestern's Chris Collins did last night. Tossed at the end of overtime, he went ballistic running on the court. He was upset over an offensive foul no call. He was upset over the 31-15 foul disparity in the game. He was upset Purdue shot 38 more free throws than Northwestern. But there he was, dapping up Matt Painter and Zach Edey afterwards in the handshake like, Cordy, you okay with Chris Collins' beef?
Absolutely, and he has every right to be upset with the officials. This was the largest free throw discrepancy in a Big Ten conference game in 25 seasons. And like a Major League Baseball manager, he gave us all of the theatrics needed to perfect the ejection after getting the double technical. I love this.
Monica?
There's no way. There's no way you could be mad at this, Tony and Court. I mean, you look at this. First of all, it was a terrific ball game, so it's not like he was making up something to make up for his team not playing well. And even if you look at what these teams average in terms of free throw attempts, the disparity should have been around 10.
Not 38 is what you're saying. Yeah, okay. It jumps out of the box score for you. You know what, though? Here he is working the crowd on the road, and I thought they were appreciative. They were cheering him as well. Everybody loved this. We'll split the point. We'll move on. Wolves 121, Mavericks 87 last night. Looking for the best moment here for Minnesota fans. It was a win, so that keeps the T-Wolves at number one in the West. It's this assist, which is a pretty great moment if you're watching. Or it's the free chicken because the opponents missed the free throw. Monica, what's the better moment last night?
It's gotta be the assist. Falling out of bounds, nutmeg between a defender's leg, goes by another defender, your guy finishes on the layup. Plus, when people win food, half the time they lose those coupons and stuff before they even leave the arena.
Okay, Cordy.
Sorry, Monica. This is all about the free Chick-fil-A for me. Cat had a great game. They held an opponent to a season low in points. They're the number one team in the West. Free chicken trumps everything, every time.
You would have gotten the point, Cordy, if you told us in time what the name of the promo is. Brickin' for chicken. That would have gotten you the point, but no, without it. Monica McNutt, FaceTime.
Oh, man. I love the growth of women's basketball. In fact, we chopped it up on that very topic here on this show. This week on Wednesday, Bet on Women Wednesday, another great glimpse into the experience of WNBA athletes was released. It is called Shattering Glass, the WNBPA story. It features Breanna Stewart, Jonquel Jones, and Nneka Ogumike. You should check it out. And of course, watch them hoop this season.
Dominating performance today. Thank you for that. Justin Tinsley, dominating birthday today. I mean, again, your own personal record. Happy birthday. Gordy Crone, Bill Platsky.
Also, happy birthday,
we'll see you tomorrow around the horn.